I just joined the admissions committee of the CU School of Medicine. My duty, along with about 100 colleagues, is to select 160 students for the class of 2016. The best way to convey the depth of our responsibility is to quote a saying recited by every medical student since time immemorial. Do you know what they call the guy who graduates last in his class? Doctor. Which means that we must strive to assure each one of the 160 women and men who matriculates is highly likely to be a quality doctor upon graduating. Number 160 in the class isn't dumb anyway. The University of Colorado anticipates receiving 4,000 or 5,000 queries to fill its 160 slots. Less than 1 in 10 of these applicants will be interviewed. Which means that the School of Medicine gets to pick its entering class from among a pretty elite group. One could almost argue for performing the last cut based on lottery rather than on the labor and time-intensive process of interview and deliberation. Lots of studies have shown that once a student exceeds a certain high level of undergraduate grades and medical college admission test scores, further increments in these so-called objective measures hardly correlate with a physician's career success. So we look for other not-so-objective qualities among the applicants, qualities like integrity, compassion, and flexibility, by putting applicants through 2 half-hour interviews. Recognizing how fickle and imperfect the one-on-one conversation is, subject to all the vagaries that make each of us the unique individual we are, the folks of the medical school admissions office will try a new interview technique on a subset of this year's wave of applicants. The method, called Multiple Mini-Interviews, MMI, has already been employed at 8 U.S. and 13 Canadian medical schools. It works sort of like speed dating. Applicants line up outside a series of rooms, each one occupied by an interviewer. On the door of the room is a sheet describing an ethical dilemma. A question like, is it okay to prescribe an unproven alternative therapy? How should a doctor's personal feelings about newborn circumcision enter into the advice he gives patients? After turning over the sheet to read the question, the candidate is given a couple of minutes before plunging in to discuss it. 8 minutes later, she finishes up and moves on to the next room, ethical dilemma, and interviewer, and so on until she's completed 6 mini-interviews in 1 hour. Evaluators are trained to listen for things like the candidate's ability to think on her feet and her respect for the point of view of others. The traditional mold that our training poured me and my cohorts into designates the physician as the decision maker. It's everybody else's job to follow the doctor's orders. Team-based care is taking the place of the old hierarchical model. Each member of the team is expected to exercise her unique perspective and skills in coordination with the others to provide the best possible care to the patient. Studies have shown that the bulk of medical errors occur not because the doctor in charge didn't know enough, but because caregivers fail to communicate with the patient or with each other. Team-based care is a potent remedy. Needless to say, this new way of providing care has huge implications for educating doctors, which is why I have great hope for MMI. It is designed to tease out the sorts of attitudes and personal traits that would make a potential doctor to be a team player. Only time will tell if a new way of interviewing candidates will result in selecting even more of the sorts of people who will turn out to be the kind of doctor you and I would like to have taking care of us.